this is one of the things that sometimes the Lord lets us know what He wants us to preach, and I find myself trying to talk Him out of it, and I ought to know better than that by now. But anyway, this is what's on my heart, and I just have to go with what He gives me. I don't believe in going somewhere and just preaching something because I think it fits. That won't ever work. So I need your prayers tonight. I'm sure most of y'all probably see it the same way. I don't know, but it looks to me like the whole world's in a mess. And God's people are caught up in a whole lot of that just because we're here. Job said that man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and he wasn't lying. That's just the way it is. There's going to be trouble. There's always going to be people that get sick. And there's always going to be catastrophes that happen in their lives, and tornadoes and hurricanes and you name it. I think the Bible used the word earthquakes and pestilences. I believe we are living some of that out. 24th chapter of Matthew, I believe it is. And I also believe it talked about a place in Luke 21 where men's hearts would be failing them for fear, for keeping the things that's coming on the earth. There's just a lot going on. And it's a lot going on for people to get down about, and to get depressed about, and to hurt over. And it's always been that way. It ain't just a new thing. I believe it is getting worse. I believe the catastrophes are getting closer together. We've got more diseases now, I believe, than we used to have. And God's people as well are just going through a whole lot. And there was an answer to this way back when Jesus was doing the speaking in John's Gospel. And if you've got your Bible with you tonight, I'll call your attention to the 14th chapter of John. Just a verse or two there I want to try to talk about just a little bit. And while you're turning there, I want to share with you just a little fact that I found out. There's 365 times, and I ain't counted them all up. I hadn't looked at every single one of them. I'll be honest with you, but they say that there's 365 times in the Scriptures to where the teaching is to fear not, or to not be afraid, or maybe not to worry, and all those things. If that's so, and I believe it is, that's an average of one time a day that the Lord reminds us. Not being such a turmoil. I don't think everything is a coincidence. I want to start out by, I think it's the fourth verse of a song that I used to hear at Rocky Mountain when I was growing up, and I liked it then. I still like it today. And the name of that song is He Whispers Sweet Peace to Me. It starts out in the, I think it's the fourth verse. He speaks in a still, small voice, we are told. A voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or troubled in soul, that still, small voice I can hear. I'm glad and thankful today that I know what that still small voice sounds like. I wish everybody knew what it sounded like. Elijah was running for his life over in the book of Kings. Jezebel, I believe, Ahab's wife, was after him, trying to kill him. He had just got through killing about 400 prophets of Baal, I believe it was, and call fire down out of heaven from God to strike the altar and consume it. And It's hard for me to imagine that somebody that had that much closeness with God and then all of a sudden get so discouraged. And that's exactly what he was doing in that cave. But the Bible says that there was an earthquake and God wasn't in the earthquake. And there was a fire and God wasn't in the fire. And then there was a great wind, I believe it is, and God wasn't in it either. But then he said, but there was a still small voice. And it goes on to say that when Elijah heard it, it's something you can hear. Not with these ears. But I believe the Bible maybe refers to a place or two where it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He might not be talking about these. There's something on the inside of a person, like way down in here, that we can hear with. And I believe that's where Elijah heard that still small voice. That's where I hear that. It's always been hard for me to understand how come you don't feel it in your hand or your foot. It's always located somewhere in this area. I don't understand why that is. I guess that's just the way the good Lord made us. But I'm glad that I know what that voice sounds like. It's not a big, booming, moving voice. It's a still, small voice. If he spoke out loud, it'd scare us to death. I read in the scriptures one time where he did, and it shook the mountain. I believe them people went to Moses and said, pretty much, you go talk to him. I don't think they could handle it. And I don't believe we could handle it any better today. So, there's one way that I know of to take care of fear. And we're going to try to talk about that for just a little while tonight. But it involves that still small voice. In John's Gospel in the 14th chapter in the first verse, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, it's not on my heart to go on about that my Father's house, there's many mansions, and about he went to prepare a place for you. We have to live this life here before we get to that. I'm thankful we've got an inheritance laid up for us. That's on. Corrupted and don't fade away. Ain't nothing wrong with it, is it? But it's over on the other side. We have to get through this life before we go to that. And we have to deal with the things and the pressures and the troubles and the problems that's going on now. And I believe Jesus was always relevant. That's how come the Bible can't be outdated. The problems that they had, they were men of like passions just like we are, and they had troubles and problems, and the Lord had an answer for them then, and he still has one for us today. Don't you want to see God's people happy? But oftentimes they're not, because we're bogged up in a bunch of junk and stuff that we have to deal with in this life. And I'll be the first to tell you, if you listen to the news all the time, then you're just going to be reminded all the time about a bunch of other stuff that we really can't do a whole lot about. Some of it we can. I guess we can vote. We can express our opinions. If last I checked, we lived in a free country. But there's a lot of that stuff that's just beyond me, and I can't do anything about it but pray about it. So we can't be tuned into the media 24/7 and worry about everything they say, because they'll say one thing today and maybe be a little different tomorrow. It don't seem to be consistent. So I don't got to where I don't even know who to believe. And some of them, I've heard so much out of them, I don't even want to hear what they got to say anymore. So who do you trust? The Lord. That's it. That's about as much as we can do. But at the same time, we can't stick our head in the sand and pretend that everything's just hunky-dory, so to speak, because it's not. We still live in that same world that Job was talking about a life while ago, that I talked about. So, what do we do? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm a dumb old country boy, but I'm kind of a word guy. I don't know why I enjoy those kind of things. I think it's because Somebody else turned me on to it a long time ago, and it helps me understand a few things if I'll just take the time to look up the Word. And so many times that I don't do that because of my own laziness, but I'm always glad when I try to do that. And I happen to look up the word troubled. All of us kind of understand what that is, right? But how do you get up in front of somebody else and tell them what it is? And there's where I struggle. I didn't know exactly what to say. And I'm glad I looked it up because the word actually means to agitate or to stir up. And it kind of makes sense, don't it? And it went on to use something that I thought was a typo. I thought they'd misspelled something or I thought something wasn't right. When I looked at it, it means to roil. And I thought, well, that means to boil. They just spelt it with an R instead of a B. They just got it wrong. And I got to looking at it, and no, they got it right. It's not B-O-I-L, it's R-O-I-L. And I didn't know what that meant neither. Then I had to go look that one up. And it means like when you stir up water, and you know how like, especially on the farm, you know, if water in a five-gallon bucket, a dirty one, or a big barrel or something, you know, and you stir that up, well, there's a lot of sediment and stuff that is settled down to the bottom, on the bottom. And when you stir it up, you get all that junk coming up. And it's just floating all in there. And now your water that's on top is not clean anymore. Now that made perfect sense to me. Because when trouble comes, if you're not careful, it'll stir up a bunch more stuff to deal with. One fear will just cause you to be afraid of another one. One worry will cause you to be scared of something else. And it just gets worse. And worse and worse and worse to the point that we just don't know what to do anymore. There is things that we can do. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And in the 26th or 7th, I'll get it right, 27th verse of the same chapter, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. It's not Jesus' wish for us to be troubled about something all the time. I believe it's his desire for us to be content. Elsewise, he wouldn't have put things in there like to be content with such as you have. Or godliness with contentment is great gain. He wouldn't have talked so much about peace and tranquility, if it wasn't important to him for his own children to have. And I'm thankful for that. I will tell you this, the first time I had a lot of trouble, I was about 8 years old, I guess, sitting on the Amen Corner at Rocky Mountain Missionary Baptist Church. Their Amen Corner is kind of turned this way. And my pa was sitting over on the edge of the bench there, and I was sitting right beside of him, and all of a sudden I had the worst trouble that I've ever had in my life, and ever since. I'm talking, I'd never got that much trouble with him before. I was in a bind. I needed some relief. But I didn't put my trust in the Lord that day. And I went on probably a couple of years or so, and people telling me what to do, and I guess I was just hard-headed or wouldn't listen or didn't understand. I remember people coming by and telling me to trust Him. There was an old lady by the name of Miss Gracie Williams there at church, and she'd walk by and she'd pat you on the head and she'd say, trust Him. And I believe she was doing what she was supposed to be doing, but for some reason I just wasn't getting it. One day, we came home from church, and Mama had dinner fixed. I ate, and went back out on the porch. She went to the end of the house there. I squatted down right there on the corner of that little brick porch. And for the first time in my life, I figured out how to trust Him. trouble left. And that particular trouble ain't been back. He gave me peace. So what's the answer? Well, I believe the answer's in the latter part of that verse that I read in your hearing a while ago. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. What's the answer to the fear and the problems and the trouble? Belief in the Lord. It's a word we call faith. Sometimes I'm afraid we believe in the Lord to get saved. And we're always going to have that, if you really get it. But then I think we live our lives in such a way a lot of times that we quit believing in it. We get saved and then we go our own way and do what we want to do. And if you really want to get in a whole lot of trouble, you just do that and you'll find it. Or it'll find you. And a lot of the trouble that we are in our lives is self-inflicted by not staying close to Him and not trusting in Him. This might not be relative to everybody here, but I don't believe the Lord would have laid it on my heart if it wasn't for somebody. It might be me. But I don't know about y'all, but I have trouble. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. Some people, they may not have as much trouble in it as others do, but I struggle with it. I really do. I just have trouble staying that close. I know how good it is when I get there, and if I'll make up my mind, I'm going to stay here, and then 5 minutes later, if I don't watch out, I'll be way off over yonder somewhere, and I'll get in trouble again. But there's a product that comes by putting your faith in the Lord. And even when you get saved, that's what you get. You get peace. I've said this a lot of times, and I don't mean to say this in a way to make anybody think that I doubt their salvation. I don't know very many of you, so surely you know I don't know your experience. I know Brother Don and Sister Alice and Casey and his family and Brother Moran, and I guess that's pretty close to it besides my mom and dad. And I hadn't even heard all their testimonies. But if you listen to a lot of people tell theirs, you'll hear things like I saw a light. I don't have a problem with that. Paul did. You'll hear them say, explain it in such a way that it was like the 4th of July, you know, that it was just rockets going off and, you know, and just a big thing. Well, I don't doubt that if that's the way it was for you. If you tell me that's what you felt like when you got saved, then I'm not going to say you're wrong. But I can tell you all I had when I got saved was peace. That's it. He didn't smack me out in the yard and turn me upside down and shake me up and none of that stuff. All I got was I just wasn't in trouble anymore. I didn't have anything else to pray about at that particular time for myself. The burden was gone. Many, many times since then, I said that these are self-inflicted wounds a lot of times. This trouble that we are in, a lot of times we cause it by making bad decisions, by not following the Lord. Lots of times since then, I've got in trouble again, but not that same kind of trouble. I got in trouble as a child of God, not in trouble as a lost person. I'm glad of that. So the remedy for trouble is trusting in the Lord, believing in Him. The product that you give for that, lost or saved, is peace. If you'll go with me to the book of Philippians right quick, I'll try not to be there very much longer. It's in the 4th chapter. A lot of people can quote this by heart, I'm sure. But in the 4th chapter of Philippians, in the 6th verse, he says, be careful for nothing. That don't mean don't care about anything. It means don't be anxious. And boy, ain't that a hard place to be. It's hard not to worry about things. It's hard not to worry about your children when they get sick. It's hard not to worry about your children when you see them making some of the mistakes that you made because you know what's going to happen to them because of that if they don't get that fixed. It's hard to not be in that zone in our minds and our hearts, you know, where we're tore up about something. Just a hard place to be. But he tells us not to be there, don't he? He says, be anxious or be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. This is a saved person's issue right here. I got peace with God, according to the 5th chapter of Romans, when we got saved. But there's a peace of God that we don't need to forget about. But either way, ain't peace one of the most pretty words you've ever heard in all your life? And what it stands for and how good it is when it happens. I love peace. I don't like trouble. I don't like a bunch of junk to have to deal with all the time. God made us really complex. We've got an outward anatomy, arms and legs and feet and hands and head and all that. We also, the inward man has an anatomy too. It's got parts that make it up. There's a conscience and a mind and a spirit and heart. And this heart is the seat of emotions. This is the place that we feel things. This is the place that God, that He put in us, that where if something bothering us, this is where it hurts first. It's also that thing, according to Acts, I believe it is in about the 17th chapter, about how you feel after the Lord. In other words, you're feeling after Him. You can't see Him. You have to reach after Him from in here if you're lost. You have to reach after Him from in here if you're saved, too, if you don't get closer to Him. I'm thankful for that scripture that says, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. It's a pretty simple little concept, I believe, don't you think? You take a step toward Him, and He takes one toward you. You take another one, He'll take another. If you keep walking and He keeps walking, guess what's going to happen sooner or later? You're going to get right close to Him. And you can tell it when you do. That's what will take care of the fear. When you get saved, there's this. I used to hear preachers, and I think you ought not be asking them that because it's just a trained response, I was afraid. I hope I've learned to keep my mouth shut over the years and not say anything about others and stuff, you know. But when somebody say they got saved, one of the first things you'd hear preachers say was, well, are you going to hell? And I'm thinking, they've heard this all their life. Of course they're going to say, I wanted them, honestly, I wanted them to be really saved. But I got to thinking about that question one time. And I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good question, ain't it? If you get saved, you do not fear hell. There's something in you that you just can't fear it no more. Because John said, perfect love casts out all fear. Well, guess what? Perfect love casts out all fear for us saved people, too. How many times if you went to bed troubled and you just can't get past it and you just eat up with it, man, just bogging you down and you're depressed and you're anxious about it and you just don't know what to do and you can't sleep and you finally get around to saying, Lord, please help me. I'm telling you, when you get your heart right, it don't take Him long to come on the scene and you're not scared anymore. You don't know how it's going to be all right. You don't know how He's going to fix it, but He just has a way of letting you know that still small voice. How many of you have ever heard Him tell you personally, it's going to be all right? Don't get much better than that, does it? But it ain't all right yet. Then you'll start worrying again if you don't watch what you're doing. But boy, ain't it good when He brings it around to pass and you get to see what God does with your little old prayer. Ain't He good? The disciples. I believe the name of the lake was Gennesaret. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But He told them, He said, you get into a ship and you go across to the other side. Now, remember that. He said, go across to the other side. Well, they got out about halfway out there, and they come up a storm, a big one. And it scared them. Scared them bad. I personally believe they thought that was it. I think they thought they was fixing to die because of what they done. They went to the Lord. He was asleep. He wasn't a bit worried about it, was he? Now, the Son of Man was tired and needed to rest. The Son of God knew exactly what was going on. He don't sleep. But Jesus, as the Son of Man, and he's 100% both, by the way, was on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship asleep. And they went to him and they woke him up. They said, "Master, carest not that we perish." And I thought for a long time, I thought, boy, his response was a little bit harsh. It sounded like. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And I'm thinking, that's not what I want to hear from him. And I thought, why would he say that? Well, he told them to go across to the other side. I guess they should have believed him that they was going to make it to the other side, right? Oh. He commanded the winds and the seas. I think he just said, "Peace, be still." He said there was a great calm. I know what that feels like too, don't you? And they were left to just saying, "Behold, what manner of man is this that the seas and the winds will obey his voice?" By the way, we are going to make it to the other side. Now, I don't know how rough the storm's going to get before we get there, but I got confidence in him that I'm going to make it over on the other side. And then that's when the part comes in about, "In my Father's house there's many mansions, but I'm going to prepare a place for you." Just a place. I don't need much space. Just want to be there. So maybe we ought to just try our best to think. Wouldn't life be a whole lot better if we didn't worry about everything? Not fearful about this, fearful about that, wondering and driving herself crazy and can't eat and having all these problems and stuff. Wouldn't it be better to just steal away somewhere and talk to the Lord? You know, get in that closet. Not the one where your shoes is and your coat, but that where we get in away from the world and shut the door out, you know, where we can just be with him, just us. And tell him what's on your heart. And feel after him and say, "Lord, I'm hurting. I'm in trouble here. I need your help." And he comes on the scene he'll respond to that every time if you're honest and humble and sincere. As a matter of fact, right on down from there, instead of all these things, the next verse in that fourth chapter of Philippians, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, if you just feel like you just can't hardly keep from worrying and fearful and troubled about something all the time, he's given us a whole list of stuff here that we can think about. Good stuff. Where we don't have to go to bed, tore all the pieces no more. But we are human, ain't we? It'll happen. But the next time it does, hopefully, we'll just talk to him about it. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God." You believe in God. "Believe also in me." And in the 27th verse, "My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. my peace, he said. He's the Prince of Peace. He's got a boatload of it. You won't run him dry of it. If all of us call on him at the same time, you won't use up all the peace he's got to give. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Let's be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Not only do we have a place prepared for us over on the other side, we can walk with him here. How much better could we possibly want it? He's good to us, ain't he? I appreciate you listening. I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Casey.